The battle for Libya has become a battle of two regions. The east is controlled by the rebels. The west is largely controlled by forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi. And as NPR's Corey Flintoff reports from Tripoli, the regional divide is also an economic divide between those who have benefited from government money and those who have not.
One of the first things you notice about Libya's capital city are the hundreds of building cranes standing idle above unfinished apartment blocks. Before the crisis began in February, the Libyan government was in the midst of a building binge. It was fueled by the oil money that began flowing freely again after international economic sanctions were lifted in 2003. According to the World Bank, Libya was investing some $225 billion to improve its infrastructure, from oil field facilities to schools and hospitals. That program is one of the things that Gaddafi's most fervent supporters point to when they say the leader has been good for Libya.
The people Libyan have cars and money and food. Yes, is living in Libya cheap? Yes, is Gaddafi building houses for 3 million Libyans to live? Yes, but where is this dissatisfaction?
That's 29-year-old Mohammed Magham speaking at a massive pro-Gaddafi demonstration in Tripoli on Friday. He gestures at a sea of people filling the city's central green square, many of them holding pictures of the leader or carrying a wide strip of green cloth they say is the longest national flag ever created. Magham says these people see Gaddafi as the source of all their benefits.
Health insurance? All right. Every single Libyan goes and have a health care treatment for free. Does Gaddafi do that? Yes. Does any Libyan go to school for free? Yes. Who provided all of that, do you think? Who provided all of this? How would you know Libya if it wasn't Gaddafi?
An official at Libya's Real Estate and Investment Bank, which oversees housing construction, says there are currently about 32,000 housing units being built around the country. He says the aim is to build around 500,000 units over the next 5 years and make them available to Libyans at low cost and with long-term payment plans. Dirk van der Waal, a professor of government at Dartmouth, has been studying Libya's development. He says that in many ways, Gaddafi's government was following the pattern of other oil-rich autocracies, such as those in the Persian Gulf, offering benefits in return for political silence. But van der Waal says Gaddafi neglected the part of Libya that's now mostly in the hands of the rebels.
The eastern part of the country has, I think, been systematically suffered from underdevelopment. And the Gaddafi government, I think, did that to some extent deliberately because he distrusted the eastern part. But also, I think the business elite of Libya is overwhelmingly concentrated in Tripolitania.
Tripolitania is the western part of Libya, and van der Waal says Gaddafi created a massive patronage system that favored wealthy business people there in order to assure their support. Van der Waal compares Libya to Dubai, another autocratic state where oil money provides citizens with benefits and subsidies. He notes that Saif al-Islam, Gaddafi's son, once said the government's aim was to create a Dubai-like state in Libya.
However, without understanding that in order to do that, you need to provide all kinds of mechanisms that Dubai, for example, provided. Property rights, accountability, transparency, all the things that a modern economy needs, and that, of course, Gaddafi, in order to keep himself in power, simply was not willing to provide for Libya.
Gaddafi supporters contend that eastern Libya did get a fair share of the country's oil bounty, especially for construction, but that corrupt local leaders stole much of the money. They say those corrupt leaders are now among those promoting the rebellion against Gaddafi. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Tripoli.